You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Feel like who Art Ed?
Try to spice it.
Who Art Ed?
Mr. Wood, Art Ed, me.
Good. Either way, it's ambiguous. It works on so many levels.
I know.
That's off to a great start.
Welcome to Who Arted, weekly art history for all ages. I'm your host, Kyle Wood. Before I get started with today's episode, I want to take a moment to say I am really sorry for the delay in publishing the final round of voting for Arts Madness. I scheduled the page to publish with the new form on Sunday night, as I always do, but apparently there was an error on the server on the hosting site, and the vote page just didn't publish. I got it resolved by Tuesday, but I am sorry for any frustration this caused. Also, thank you to Ms. Fuller Malloy and her middle schoolers for expressing your concern when I didn't have the page up at the usual schedule. It was a simple problem with the website host, but I appreciate your concern nonetheless, and I also really appreciate that you're invested in the tournament. Voting will still be open today and on Saturday, and then for Monday's episode, I am going to announce the winner and replay the mini episode about that artist and their work. Be sure to go to whoartedpodcast.com/vote to weigh in on our final round between Katsushika Hokusai and Vincent van Gogh. Now on to the actual topic for today. Peter Paul Rubens wasn't your typical 17th century artist. Sure, he produced magnificent Baroque masterpieces, his canvases overflowing with vibrant colors and dynamic figures. Baroque art was known for its high drama, but in this case, the real life of the artist may have been even more intriguing. Rubens was not only a highly skilled artist, he was also a shrewd diplomat and a cunning spy, a man who navigated the treacherous world of European politics with as much finesse as he wielded the paintbrush. Born in 1577 in Antwerp, Rubens' childhood was marked by political and religious turmoil. His family fled to Germany to escape the Spanish Inquisition, only to return to Catholic Antwerp years later. This early exposure to different cultures and religions instilled an open-mindedness and multilingual fluency. He spoke six languages. And all of that would prove invaluable later in life. Rubens' artistic talent blossomed early, though. After apprenticing with renowned Flemish painters, he embarked on a journey to Italy, a cultural pilgrimage site for aspiring artists. There, he soaked up the Renaissance masters like Michelangelo and Titian, honing his technique and developing his signature exuberant style. Upon return to Antwerp, Rubens' career skyrocketed, his powerful paintings often depicting religious and mythological scenes captured the imagination of patrons and royalty. But a twist of fate propelled him from his studio into the world of espionage. In 1600, the Duke of Mantua, an Italian patron of Rubens, sent him on a diplomatic mission to Spain. This was no ordinary artistic exchange. Europe was just tangled with alliances and rivalries, particularly between the powerful Catholic Spain and the Protestant Dutch Republic, of which Antwerp was a part. The Duke, caught between these superpowers, wanted Rubens to gauge Spanish political winds. Rubens, with his charm and diplomatic skills, excelled in this role. He mingled with Spanish nobles, subtly gathering information about their military plans and political sentiments. He even used his artistic talents, embedding coded messages in seemingly innocuous paintings sent back to the Duke. This covert mission marked the beginning of a double life for Rubens. Back in Antwerp, he continued producing masterpieces while simultaneously serving as an unofficial ambassador for the Spanish crown. He skillfully navigated the political landscape, conveying messages between Spain and the Dutch Republic, fostering peace talks during a brutal war. And his contributions were significant. Rubens's diplomatic efforts actually paved the way for a temporary truce between the warring powers, a much-needed break for the war-torn Europe. He used his influence with both sides to advocate for peace and economic cooperation. Still, Rubens's walk on the tightrope of espionage wasn't without danger. He faced accusations of being a double agent, playing both sides for personal gain. Some historians believe he genuinely desired peace, using his artistic fame and diplomatic skills as tools for reconciliation. Others argue his allegiance lay with Spain, and he was leveraging his artistic reputation as a cover for espionage. In truth, there are probably elements of both of those views to be supported. I mean, nobody's motivations are entirely clean one way or another. Everybody's multifaceted. Rubens, possibly more than most. He was a master of navigating complex realities. He understood the power of art as a cultural bridge, fostering understanding between opposing sides. Yet his loyalty to Spain and his own financial security undoubtedly influenced his actions. Regardless of his motives, Rubens's role in European politics was undeniable. His legacy extends beyond his breathtaking canvases, reminding us that art is not only holding a mirror to the world, it can shape people's perceptions of the world and ultimately sway them towards actions that will influence not just aesthetics, but the course of history itself. Now, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Peter Paul Rubens painting the Presentation of the Portrait of Marie de Medici, because this is one of the 250 works on the AP Art History List, and I know a number of my listeners are high schoolers trying to cram for the test, and I want to be helpful where I can. Now, this painting is a carefully crafted narrative. It was created between 1622 and 1625, part of a monumental 24-part series commissioned by Marie herself to adorn her new Parisian palace, the Luxembourg. Marie was a widow and a mother of the young king, Louis XIII. Her relationship with the court was strained. The series, depicting key moments in her life, aimed to solidify her image as a powerful and rightful queen. In the presentation, Rubens focuses on a pivotal event, the unveiling of Marie's portrait to King Henry IV, her future husband. The scene is a dazzling display of wealth and power. Henry, captivated by the portrait, leans forward, his posture echoing courtly etiquette. But Rubens goes beyond mere portrayal. He fills the scene with symbolism. Hovering above the portrait is Hymen, the god of marriage, showing the couple with blessings. This emphasizes the union's political significance, a strategic alliance between France and Florence. Mercury, the messenger god, stands beside Marie, signifying her role as a diplomat who brokered the peace treaty leading to the marriage. Hymen holds in his left hand a flaming torch symbolizing the intensity of love. Jupiter and Juno, the king and queen of the Olympian gods, look down on the scene. They're holding hands and smiling warmly to show their approval. Cupid's aim was true. King Henry IV looks longingly at the portrait of his future bride. It is a union that seems to be blessed by all the ancient gods. Marie, by commissioning such a grand series, asserted her control over her own narrative. The paintings served as political propaganda, legitimizing her role and lineage. With its blend of historical accuracy and allegorical flourishes, the series exemplifies the Baroque style of art. Rubens' masterful use of light and shadow, vibrant colors, and dynamic composition create a scene that is both realistic and theatrical, perfectly capturing the essence of courtly life. Today, housed in the Louvre, the presentation of the portrait of Marie de Medici remains a captivating window into the intersection of art and politics in 17th century Europe.
This concludes this week's episode of Who Arted, part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. If you found this tolerable, please leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. You can find images of the work being discussed this week and every week on social media at Who Arted Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and of course on the website whoartedpodcast.com. Podcast done.